So when Bob originally asked my mom and I to do this, he had a very specific thought of what he wanted us to talk about. He wanted me to talk about the turning point of moving to the Bronx and starting a house on Beekman, which is the ministry that I have there. But first of all, I feel like most of you know that story. And second of all, that turning point for me wasn't in a vacuum. And so instead, I wanted to share about some of the foundations that set me up, and specifically the foundations that my mom laid, since we're here preaching together, that set me up to be able to make those decisions.
And he wanted me to talk about how Sarah's decision to do her work in the Bronx was a turning point for me, but it wasn't really a turning point for me, because this had this decision of hers had, she'd made several decisions like this throughout her life, and so it wasn't a big shock for me or a big turning point for me. So I'm not going to talk about that either, so we're kind of, you know, he's not here, so there we go. As a parent, it's our job, as it says in Proverbs, to train up a child in the way they should go. And as it says in Deuteronomy, to tell our children about God and what he has done when we're sitting at home, when we're walking along the road, when we're going to sleep at night, and when we're getting up in the morning. And our goal, I think, for all of our kids is that they would grow up, as Jesus did, in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. We also pray for our kids. I pray for my grandchildren every day, and now for little Everly Blue, that they will grow health, that they will be healthy and happy and become a servant of God. And so this is our thing as parents, to train and to teach our kids. But oftentimes, our kids can teach us if we're open to that and if we're watching and listening. And Sarah has taught me, and one of the things that she has taught me is through her way that she looks at Scripture and her relationship with God, that it's all something real. It's not just you come to church and you hear a fun story, or you go to camp and it's a fun time, but all these things that God is telling us is real and actionable. When she was in kindergarten, I brought home kids. I was a stay-at-home mom. We had a family in our neighborhood who their mom was a teacher, and so I brought her kids home with me every day until she got home from school. And Sarah was in kindergarten. They had a daughter, Jackie. She was in kindergarten with Sarah, and they were really good friends. Every night we had, you know, as we lay down, we reread, we'd have a devotional, a family devotional. And one night, it was based around the scripture in John where Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me." And Sarah starts to have a panic because Jackie is Jewish and Mommy Jackie doesn't believe in Jesus. And so, you know, what are we going to do about Jackie? It was real for her. And so we talked about some things that we could do, but we prayed for Jackie. And every day I still pray for Jackie on my way to school, that family will come to know God. Later, a few years later, I am watching videos for, I'm writing Bible school curriculum, and this is for fourth graders, and I'm watching several different videos on the crucifixion of Jesus. And I want something that will make the story come alive to these fourth graders. I think it makes me think of what Steve said last week at communion about how we just get used to things and it's nothing anymore, that Jesus died is nothing anymore for us because we've heard it forever. So I'm watching these videos and Sarah's in there watching them with me. And there was one that was an animation. It was a children's video. It was animated. And then there was one, there was three, but then there was one that was really realistic. Real people acting it out, not as realistic as the Passion, not that detailed, but all of a sudden Sarah's crying because they did this to Jesus. look what they did to Jesus. And it was so real for her. And this is how she approaches scripture and the stories that she hears. It's real to her. When she was in junior high, she went to camp. Bob ran a camp at ACU, and she went to camp every summer. So she comes back home one year from camp, and I don't remember what they had talked about. I just know the effect it, you know, I wasn't there. I know the effect it had on her. And she came home and said, you know, junior high is really hard. And if I'm going to keep up with what I learned at camp this summer, I need a support group. And so I think I need to start a Bible study group with some other Christian friends that go to school with me. We were going to, CCC at the time. And so, you know, we're small. There's not a lot of kids here that were going to school with her. So she found other kids at school that she could have a Bible study group with her so that she could continue on with those teachings that she had learned at camp. In high school, she went to camp again. She came home with, Mom, I've got to get rid of all my shoes and most of my clothes. Now, Sarah in her closet has, you know how you have those shoe storage things? Well, she had two. And they were full of shoes. You know, in the summer, we wear flip-flops a lot. So you could get more than one pair of shoes in each one of those little things.
I think I had 40 pairs.
She had a lot of shoes. Yeah. And so we're getting rid of all these shoes. And, you know, they're flip-flops, but they were good. They were in good shape. But, you know, they kind of have your foot on there. So she scrubbed those with bleach and got them nice and pristine. And then half of her closet, you know, and we pack all those up, and she gives those away because of something that she had learned at camp. So she's going to live that out. When she decided to go to New York to school, she was kind of breaking a family tradition of ours of going to ACU. My parents went to ACU. The children went to ACU. Casey went to ACU. But Sarah was offered a scholarship in theater at ACU. But she decided she's going to New York to go to theater school there. So she's reading that summer, or that fall, I guess. Really, it was that fall. She's reading Ephesians. And all of a sudden, it just comes, I don't know really if it was all of a sudden, but it becomes alive to her, and this is God speaking to me through Peter in Ephesians. And so, I don't know, there was maybe, I don't know how many of you were here on her graduation Sunday, but on graduation Sunday, we didn't have a sermon that Sunday. Sarah recited from memory Ephesians, the whole book of Ephesians, like it was written to her, changing the adverbs and things like that, like it was written to her, letting us know that this is God's call to her to go to New York and be a light to the theater department at NYU in New York. So when she decides then to leave student housing in New York and go move to the Bronx, this was just another step, another decision in her path to live out what God has said in the Bible. So for me, it was more, she turns me towards God often in her decisions to, this is real. God wants us to do something about it, not just read it, hear it, and walk off. But there's a response that we need to have for this. And so she reminds me and inspires me and turns me towards that.
So for me, the way that I engage with Scripture came from somewhere. And in large part, it came from my mom. And the way that I grew up watching my mom engage with Scripture and the way that she taught us to engage with Scripture. So I remember as a kid, every single night before bedtime, we read the Bible. Like my mom mentioned that story with Jackie. And I guess that little moment was a turning point, but I don't remember, now as an adult, I don't remember any one specific of those times that we read the Bible together. But I do know that it cultivated in me that the Bible is not something that sits on a shelf or that you just hear taught to you once a week from the pulpit on Sunday. It's something that you engage with every single day, and you talk about it, and you think about it, and you ask questions about it. And so that my mom laid that foundation of this is something, the Bible is something that you engage with all the time. And I also remember my mom wrote Bible school curriculum a lot as a job when we were growing up. And I can just visualize that it was back before the digital age. And so there were paper copies of her curriculum just strewn all over our living room and all over the house. And she would teach us from the curriculum that she was developing. And for her, it was so important for us as kids that the Bible was fun and relevant and engaging, not dismissing what it truly asks of us, but the Bible also wasn't just something for adults. The Bible had something to say for us at 4 years old and in third grade and in seventh grade, and that's why she developed this curriculum. And that's as I watched her as a child developing this Bible school curriculum and being so passionate that the Bible should speak to someone at every single age. And that was a life passion of hers. And so I grew up watching that and watching how important it was for her to see every person, no matter how old you are, be able to engage with Scripture. And that developed in me a huge love for Scripture and a value for Scripture. And so when I moved to New York in that first year at NYU, I didn't know one Christian person. I didn't have one Christian friend. And I was visiting churches, but I hadn't really settled in yet. And no one in my dorm was a Christian, and no one in my theater school was a Christian. And so in that moment, I needed a place to turn to for Christian community. And my first instinct, something that was just ingrained in me, was I can turn to God in Scripture. And so that first year when I had no Christian friends, the Bible was my friend. And I truly engaged with the Bible that year as it was a living, breathing friend right there with me. And when I had questions, because I'm away from my parents for the first time, and I'm away from CCC, my faith community, for the first time. And so as I think any college student does when they're away from their parents, I'm deciding what my life means for myself outside of what my parents are telling me to do. And I'm deciding what my faith is going to mean for myself outside of what my church is saying. And so it was really important that I had laid a foundation for me, that my mom had laid a foundation for me, that Scripture is not something that just sits on a shelf, and it's not something that's just told to you. It's a friend that's a living, breathing manifestation, the Word of God, that you engage with and you ask questions. And so I remember also when I was in college, I called my mom all the time as I was reading Scripture, especially thinking, what does this mean for myself? And I would call mom and say, I read this in the Bible. I can't believe it says this in the Bible. Are we really supposed to do this? What does this mean? This is crazy. And I knew that I could call her because I knew that she regularly wrestled with Scripture and that she would love to get that phone call and wrestle with me in what that meant. And so that was...
And if I didn't know, I'd say, call Bob.
Call Bob.
Or call Mom.
Mom, right. And those two things happened several times. So as I was reading Scripture, and this is a part that probably most of you know, I was reading an Isaiah 58, and so I tell people, you definitely know that I was digging in Scripture, because not normally would you just be casually reading Isaiah, but I was, because I needed a friend, and the Scripture was my friend. And so I was reading Isaiah 58, and God and the Israelites are having a conversation, and they say, God, we worship you, and we pray, and we do all the right things. Why aren't you listening to us? And God says, You think bowing your head like a reed is worshiping me? No, worshiping me is loosening the chains of injustice and setting the oppressed free. It's feeding the hungry and inviting the stranger into your home. And he says, when you spend yourself on these things, then I will come behind you in a way that you never thought imaginable. And he spends the rest of the chapter making these lavish promises. And I read that. I was walking on my way to church, literally tripped over a homeless person, kept running because I was late, typical, and slid in the pew, and it just hit me. God's talking to me. I'm an Israelite here. I go to church and I worship God and I'm a good girl. I do the right things, but this other list of things doesn't characterize my life at all. Maybe every once in a while on a service trip, a service project or a mission trip, but I'm certainly not spending myself on these things. And so I, again, kind of speaking to what my mom was talking about, I thought, I have to do something about this. This isn't just meant for me to read and say, that's interesting, and then move on and keep living the same way that I'd been living. And so I found in that passage both a conviction that my life needed to change. I was walking in disobedience to God, but also an invitation that he had these promises, this way of living here on earth that he wants for us, and it gives us a fuller life. And so that led me to a series of different things. First, I started eating lunch with homeless people around NYU, and God really did a lot of work in my heart then. And then I really dug into the rest of Scripture, and I read the Gospel of Matthew, asking if Jesus lived in New York City today, where would he live? And from all of that, I just couldn't escape that from the beginning of Scripture to the end, in the Old Testament, in the life of Jesus, in the New Testament, the rest of the New Testament, God aligns himself with the poor and the marginalized, and he places a huge value on living life with them and learning from them and being in community with them and letting that change you. And so I knew that, again, my life needed to change in a more significant way. And so that led me to the decision to move to the South Bronx, which is one of the poorest neighborhoods in America. And at that point, that kind of leads me to the next place, which is what my mom talked about, doing something with Scripture. So my mom didn't just teach me that Scripture was important to read and to engage with, but then you have to do something about it. And when I tell my story, my Bronx story, everyone always asks me one of the very first surefire questions I know I'm going to get when I open it up for questions is, what did your parents think? And as soon as they ask me that, I tell the story of my mom and dad helping to start CCC. Because I didn't realize it at the time, but that turning point in their life helped lay the foundation and shape me to be able to make that decision at that time. I remember when so my parents left the church that they were going to and helped to plant CCC when I was in third grade. There are a couple things I remember from that. One, I remember, I think this was after CCC had just begun to start being planted, but they were still kind of in the weeds of it. And I was sitting in the car with my mom as a third grader, and this song came on the radio. It's a Christian song by this woman, Sarah Groves, and it's called Painting Pictures of Egypt. And the lyrics are, I'm painting pictures of Egypt, leaving out what it lacks. The future feels so hard, and I want to go back. But the places that used to fit me cannot hold the things I've learned. And my mom, we're in the car, my mom just starts weeping. And my mom is, like, pretty protective of, I don't see her cry very often. She doesn't really share her burdens with us kids. But I saw her just weeping, and I asked her what's wrong. And she was really honest with me in that moment of, I've just left all my whole community, all of my friends, and the future is so uncertain. I don't know, and it feels so hard. The future feels so hard, and I really want to go back because it was safe and it was comfortable there. But I've learned new things, and God has opened my eyes to new things, and the life that I was living can't hold the things that God has taught me now. And so I have to go forward, even though it's uncertain and it's hard and it's scary. And I was comfortable there and I had friends there and I knew what life looked like in that way. And so this new path is really scary for me. And so as a third grader, I just kind of sat there and was like, kind of weird, Mom, or, you know, like, well, whatever. But I remembered that as an adult, then when I was having to make that own decision for myself of there is a path in front of me that I know God is calling me to. And I've learned some things from God that I cannot sit still and keep in the comfortable life that I'd been living. I have to step out and take this risk, even though it's scary and it's hard. And I also remember a really specific conversation I had with my dad when I was making this decision to move to the Bronx. And I sat, we had already signed a lease there, and actually Darius, who used to come here as Lori Gill's husband, he drove some things up there and had a conversation with my dad of like, do you realize where your daughter is moving and what's happening there? And so I was home for the summer right before I was moving to the Bronx, and my dad sat down with me and he was really concerned for me. He was concerned for my safety and just wasn't quite sure about this decision. And so he sat down with me and he's like, Sarah, I don't care that you've already signed the lease. You know, you're not moving there. This isn't happening. You're not going to go. And I sat down with him and I said, Dad, you're the one who taught me to read scripture and do what it says. Even if your parents don't agree with you, even if your parents are concerned about you, even if everyone else around you thinks you're crazy, I watched you leave behind everything that you knew to follow God, because you were digging into scripture and God told you to do this and you did it. And he said, all right, we'll see. Which if you know my dad, that was the best I was gonna get out of him. But then he gave me his blessing to go and do this. But it was my parents laying that foundation for me of you engage with scripture and you do what it says, no matter what the cost, no matter what anyone else around you says. If you know God is asking you to do something, you do it. And so that was a huge foundation that my mom also laid for me that was really important.
So, for me, my turning point is kind of like what Sarah has described. Scripture should not just be something that we hear, but it should shape our lives. It's a call to action, not just that was a great story, that was a great sermon, but it's a call to action and a change.
And for me, it was really important for me, and turning points for me, that my parents laid for me that scripture is important and that you do what it says. But one thing I kind of want to leave you with, especially for you as parents in the room, is that in that, all of those things that my parents were doing when I was young, when I was growing up, the ways that my mom was reading scripture with us every night and that decision that my parents made to help plant CCC, those weren't things in the moment for me growing up that were turning points. Those things didn't impact me in the huge way until I left and was on my own, making decisions on my own about what my life was going to look like. And it was then that I remembered what my parents had taught me, and not just what they'd taught me with their words, but what they'd taught me with their life. And so now that I'm a parent, I just want to encourage all of you that the investment that you're making in your kids is really important. And you may not see it when they're at home with you. You may not see the fruit of you reading the Bible to them every day or having conversations around the dinner table about the Bible or these decisions that you're making about your own life. And when you take risks for God, you may not see immediately your kids say, oh, Mom's taking a risk for God, let me go do that too. But when they're older and they're having to make decisions themselves about their own life and what they're going to, what their life is going to be like, they'll remember the foundation that you laid. And they'll remember if they're faced with a risk that they have to take for God. I remember that my mom and my dad took a risk for God, and that's what it looked like. And so I had an example of what it looked like to engage with Scripture, and I wouldn't have been able to do that if I hadn't seen that lived out in my parents. And I had an example of what it looks like to take a risk for God, and I wouldn't have been able to do that if I hadn't seen that lived out in my parents. And so I just want to leave that too as an encouragement that the daily things that you're doing as a parent may not sink in now, but someday God may use that in a powerful way. Yeah, so let's pray. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for this time that we have to come together. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the word that you've given us to be able to hold and to read and to engage with. God, we thank you that your word can be like a friend to us. And I pray for each of us this week as we go out into our life and our work and parenting and everything that we have going on in our life right now. I pray that we would engage your scripture this week in a fresh way, like it's a friend to us. And God, I pray that you would continually convict us and invite us into new ways of living. I pray that you would show us action steps that we can take to be more like you and to live more like the way that you want us to live here on earth. And I pray that you would give us the courage to take those steps, to follow you, to step further into what it means to worship you with our whole life. It's in your son's name that we pray. Amen.